Well, he is a friend, isn't he? Appreciate the Lord this morning. Very honored to be here. And I appreciate the good challenge and the good charge on yesterday. What tremendous preaching and the Lord gave us. And I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad to be among this crowd. Amen. It's a good group to be in, isn't it? A good group to be in. And just very honored to be here. Thank the Lord for his goodness. And I'm nervous, praise the Lord. I don't know who's more nervous, me or Brother Jarvis, because I ain't never been here before. So, but I'm glad to be here. Appreciate the Lord's goodness and appreciate his kindness in my life. Before I preach, I just need to thank the Lord I'm saved this morning. And June the 12th, 1995, Jesus Christ passed by my way, saved my soul, changed my life, 14 years old, full of religion. And full of religion and full of rebellion, mad at God, mad at everybody else because of things in my life. But I thank God Jesus passed by my way, saved my soul, changed my life. And I'm telling you, there are battles and difficulties, but I don't deserve to be doing what I'm doing for Jesus. Don't deserve it one bit. But I appreciate his goodness and his kindness in my life. Amen. Psalm 78 this morning, Psalm 78. And I want to just give you what's on my heart fresh. Brother Matthew Tucker, preacher out of our church, is out pastor now, was with us here at the meeting this week. And I was just talking to him. I said, there are a lot of things I'd like to preach or say, but I just got something really burning on my heart. And I feel like Lord had me to share this this morning. Really, God gave it to me in a devotion. And so I'm just going to kind of give it to you the same way that God spoke to my heart. Psalm 78, and if you don't mind, let's stand together, and we'll read a few verses out of this. And Brother Willis was looking over, and you know, he said, preach, and said some good words of encouragement. And I said, I will if you let me hold your Bible. He said, it's the NIV Bible. You don't want to take that thing up there. So praise the Lord. Amen. Psalm 78, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. And then we'll try to read down to about verse 11 or 12. The Bible said, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the generation which should be, children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and forget not the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. I'm interested in this next phrase, and we'll get to it, this next couple of verses. The Bible said the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, and turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders which he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I covet that you'd pray with us this morning, that the Lord just help us and have his heart, have his mind today. My Father, I do want to thank you again for the privilege, God, to be in your house. God, we're aware of that. Lord, this isn't my house. God, this is your house. And I'm very grateful, God, that I'm able to spend this day with your people, able to get around the good things of God and be encouraged by that. And I pray, God, that you would, Lord, see fit today to visit with us. And God, we don't deserve it. And God can't command it. But God, we do ask, Lord, that you'd settle on us today, touch every preacher, touch every heart. And God, when we leave today, God, be able to thank you, pillow our head tonight, knowing that we've met with you. God, I beg you, Lord, to give us illumination. God, that you'd touch our heart, make these verses real to us today. And God, I do ask, Lord, that if you will, I would appreciate it if you'd just do the preaching. God, I pray, oh Lord, that you'll speak to us and through us. God, this is your word. God, these are your people. Help us, God, to be an obedient vessel. And God, we'll thank you for it. And it is in Jesus' name do we pray. Amen and amen. Psalm 78 is a very rich psalm, very rich chapter in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if you read through this chapter, you're going to find that there are different sections that are set and different time frames that are given. And through all of that, God reminds us of how big God is. He reminds us of what God can do. I'm glad today that I'm glad the Lord that I serve is not limited in what He can do. But if God did it then thank God God can do it again. I think sometimes we read our Bible and we get confused by the day we live in, confused by what we see. And it's almost as if we're serving a God that can't do it anymore. But I'm glad that God is just as real today as He ever was. I'm glad that God is just as good now as He ever was. And what God did before, I'm glad God can do it again. As a matter of fact, we're blessed today with young people in this meeting. And boy, God help us never to paint a picture to them that what God did then, God can't do it anymore. But if they'll just yield their life to God, no telling what God can do in their life. And if you find them in the pages of your Bible, thank God, I'm glad God can still do it. Amen. Read this psalm and I find that the Lord is giving some instruction and some encouragement along the way. If you notice with me, God is dealing with something being passed on in the text. The Bible said in verse number 1, in verse 2 and 3, He gives us something that you and I can pass on. The Bible said in verse number 1, it mentions the law, it mentions the words of my mouth. In verse number 2, it mentions a parable, and it mentions a dark saying. In other words, there is a truth that has been given. And Brother Buster, in verse number 3, it tells us what we are to do with that truth. The Bible said, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told. Can I say this? Our children need to hear about what God can do. God help us not to raise a generation that's got more confidence in a superhero than to do God. Amen, that's right. God help us not to raise a generation that knows everything about sports and about the world. They need to hear mom and daddy telling them that there is a God in heaven that can do great things in their life. And if they'll just give their life to God, no telling what God can do in them. It talked about what is being passed to them. Now, I don't know if I were to pass away today, my children wouldn't get much money. I'm a Baptist preacher. Somebody say amen right there. There may not be, but all if they could know that the same God that worked in daddy's life and the same God that worked in mama's life is the same God that'll be there for them and faithful to them. And if they'll just commend their ways to God and make up in their mind to serve Jesus, oh, what God did for mom and daddy, God can do it for them too. Amen. Amen. That's what I thought about. The ages and the generations of preachers that are here. Many of you have been preaching longer than I've been alive. I'm 36 years old. And I thought about this, Brother Rack. I'm glad that what God's doing for Brother Willis, that God can still do it for the young preacher boy. Amen. Now, Brother Willis is still young. Somebody say something right there. Amen. Amen, that's right. I'm glad. Hallelujah, that's right. And many of you men have fought some battles, and because of the battles you fought, you paved the path for us. And let us know, young men of God, that if you'll just stay with that old book, and if you'll just keep preaching the Word of God, and if you'll just stay on your knees with God, just like God brought us through, I'm glad God can bring you through too. Talked about passing along, and then he tells us in verse number 3, excuse me, verse number 4, he made it, there's a commitment being made. The commitment was, we will not hide them from their children. Can I stop and say there's probably some things in our life that really we don't want to spend much time telling our children about. There are some things I don't want to go past the bloodline and tell my children everything in my past. I don't want them to know things about my past, but I do want them to know how good God's been to me today. I do want them to know the day that Jesus passed. Hallelujah, Lord. I want my babies to know that I'm not in church because I had a good idea. I want them to know I'm not preaching just because I turned over a new leaf, but I want them to know, thank God, at 14 years old, Jesus passed by daddy's way. And Jesus changed my life. And let them know God is the one that did it. We will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Amen, that's right. And His strength and wonderful works that He hath done.
Drop down in verse number 6. Why do that? That the generation to come might know them. Amen. What is in you needs to get in them. What's in me needs to get in my children. And then it goes a little bit farther. And it said this. Even the children which should be born who shall arise declare them to their children. There are some things that you and I can do that can affect our grandbabies. Amen, that's right. There are some things, Brother Jarvis, that we can do now. And I may not see some of them born. You may not see your great-grandchildren born. But I'm telling you, if you'll just stay for God, I'm left there'll be somebody that they can point them to and say, there's a daddy that knew God. There's a mama that knew God. There's a God that's still working in your life. And let them know, thank God, you're not just a bunch of drunkards. You're not just a bunch of sinners. But God saved your soul, and God changed your family, and God made you new creatures, and God changed who your family is. Notice in our text that they might set their hope in God. I want my children to set their hope in God. Amen. I want their hope to be in what God can do for them. Brother David, I want them to know that He is not just a story. He is not, hallelujah, He is God in front of you, yes. He is God behind you, yes. He's God beside me, yes. But thank God, He is God in me. He is God with me. He is God for me. He's God ministering to me. He's God, and He changes not. Give us a generation of young people that their hope is not in what just an education can do. It's not just in what the money can do for you. It's not just in what pleasures can do for you. But there's a God who can do so much more. Amen. He is addressing, notice He is talking about that generation, giving them something. Moving along, getting to our thought. Notice He said in verse 3, they might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Generation that set not their heart right. And now in verse number 9, where has He given this exhortation about those that stood and did something for God? It's already been said, but can I say it again? Thank God, hallelujah, thank you, men of God, for standing for God. Amen, that's right. Thank you for standing for God. Thank you for not giving up last year when it was tough. Thank you for not putting your cross down. Thank you for not putting your Bible down. There's some young people here depending on you. There's some young people in your youth choir depending on you. There's some babies in your Sunday school room, and they're depending on you. Thank you for not giving up. Thank you for getting in the pulpit one more time. Thank you for going for God and giving us a heritage to look to. But notice verse number 9. The account begins to change about this heritage that is leading to God. And the Bible now tells us in verse number 9 that here the children of Ephraim are. Now there are several different references to these children of Ephraim. But many times you'll find that when Israel is in a backslidden state, God refers to them as Ephraimites. In other words, they're not being bragged on. The Bible said the children of Ephraim specifically, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Now notice this testimony. There, the men of Ephraim, the Bible said that they were armed. In other words, God gave them what they needed for the battle. I don't know how to equip me, but God knows how to equip me. Amen. If you were to write a handbook in 1950 about how to be equipped or how to pastor in that day, it probably would be a little bit different than how to pastor, how to live for God in 2017. Would you agree with me? But could I say, if you and I are arming ourselves, we'll never be equipped. But I'm glad, Brother Bush, there's somebody else arming me. And thank God that this world might change, and the politicians might change, and the fans might change. But I'm glad God never changes. When everything is up, He's always good. When everything's down, He's always good. He's always been sufficient. He'll always be sufficient. I'm glad there's a God that's arming His people. Now let's think about this. They had what they needed. They were armed. Look in your Bible. The action has been needed. Now the Bible said it was a day of battle. I'm amazed at the people who don't realize that we are in a conflict. Would you agree with me that we're in a conflict? Would you agree with me that these aren't what you... Praise God, Brother Jarvis said it right. There's a time to back in the corner. There's a time to get beat up on it. But then there's a time to step out by the good grace of God and armed with the Word of God and been in your prayer closet full of God and to fight the good fight of faith. The men of Ephraim were armed. There's an action. If there was a day of battle, I'm amazed at the people in our churches that have no idea about the conflict. In other words, when they hear somebody say, I'm going through a hard time, they'll say, man, I didn't know we was even in a battle. Help us, Lord. Say, well, I ain't had no battles. We'll hang around us and sit with a bunch of us preachers at lunchtime. We'll let you share in some of ours. Amen. The conflict, but you got to remember, if there's a battle being fought, then there's something that's being fought for. Amen. Amen. Our children are being fought for today. There is a conflict, not just for the child that's out of church and doesn't know God, not just for those who've never been brought to church, but mark it down, those that are raised in good churches, not those that have good men of God. You mark it down, the devil is fighting for your children. How the devil's fighting for your church. He's fighting for your pulpit. He's fighting for your joy. He's fighting for your mental stability. He's fighting for your peace. But he's trying to take everything away from you. And here it is. Here's a day of battle. There is a conflict that's raging. Now think about this. Moses said the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows. They looked like an army. They didn't fight like an army. The Bible said being armed and carrying bows. Notice that they went able. The Bible said they turned back in the day of battle. In other words, I mean, this army had no problem looking like an army. They had no problem when it came parade time to give out the accolades. But when it came to fight, you'll find that they were nowhere around to fight the battle and win the battle that was raging around them. Now you know what as I do, that when you're armed but you won't fight, and then the action is called and you won't go to battle, when you make up in your mind you're not going to fight the good, it won't take long. If you're not fighting, it won't be long. You'll go AWOL on God. Notice this about this. It's more about their attitude than it is about their actions. Isn't it amazing that sometimes, and I don't know a whole lot, Brother Buster will straighten all this out later, I don't know a whole lot, but it's amazing. Sometimes you can do the same things and get the victory. But if the devil can ever get our attitude, he can whoop us and the whole congregation. Amen. It was not just about what was taking place around them, Brother Brown. It was not just about the actions they weren't involved in, but it also was about the attitude they have. It came to a fact that, well, and could I say this? If you will not fight, there'll come a day that you cannot fight. Let me deal with that for just a minute. I'll be done. Let's look back. Why does it tell us in our text? The Bible said the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows turned back there. Let's look back a little bit, see if we can find out maybe why they would not fight when opportunity comes. Let me look back at a few verses. Just give me the way the Lord gave it to me. Genesis chapter number 48 and I believe verse number 13. Let me give you these verses. The Bible's here. Joseph takes his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And in verse number 13, the Bible said, and Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head. You know what Joseph just did? There was a swapping there as the who was fixing to get the blessing. In other words, the Bible tells Brother Buster that the younger received the blessing instead of the elder. What I'm getting at, maybe it's this. Here's Ephraim got some blessings he didn't deserve. You and I can identify with that. Amen. Brother Rackley, we are living in and basking in and we're enjoying some blessings that really, to be honest with you, we don't really deserve them. The problem was, they weren't thankful for what they had. And there came a time for those, they didn't have to earn anything and didn't have to work after anything and didn't have to labor for anything. And they took those things for granted and they never learned how to get the goodness of God in their own life. Could I say this, young people? Could I say this? I'm a preacher's kid. Could I say this to you this morning? You are the most blessed people on planet Earth. But don't let the blessings that God has let you grow up around the good things of God and has let you see the power of God and let you see how big God is and let you see how good God is and seeing how God can provide and grow up in a good Christian home and never learn how to pray and never learn how to get a hold of God and never learn how to pray and see what God can do in your life. I believe this today. That you and I, this is only my second time ever being here, I believe that we're enjoying some blessings of some former generations. Miss Abby, before you ever stepped foot in RBT, God had done placed the man of God there that had been sacrificing and laboring so that when you got there, you would have the good things of God. Hallelujah. You'd have the good things of God to enjoy. Can I say this, men of God? They may never appreciate the sacrifice. They may never appreciate the labors you got. But I'm telling you, please, men of God, keep on laboring and keep on sacrificing. There might be a Timothy in the audience. There might be a young girl to get a hold to it. There might be a preacher boy get a hold to it. And you keep on laboring and you keep on giving. No telling what God will do. But there's going to come a day you're not going to be able to live off the blessings of other people. Maybe they didn't fight because they'd taken some things for granted. Let's move on a little bit. Let's go. Let's find them again. Let's find them again there in the book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, the Ephraimites are being divided their inheritance. They're beginning to take their land. They're beginning to go out to the borders of where they're going to go. And they're beginning to push the enemy out. And they're beginning to labor. But notice what the Ephraimites did in Joshua 16 and verse number 10. And the Bible said, and they drave not out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer. But the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. Maybe the reason they could not fight is because there come a day instead of pushing the enemy out, they learned to get along with the enemy. The enemies that we will not conquer will eventually be the enemies that we come to serve. In the text, the Ephraimites have this mentality. You can stay here and be our servants. But by the time things are over, it was the Ephraimites serving them. Oh, child of God, God help us to get the world out. God help us to keep the sin out. There's a battle raging for your babies. We don't have time to get cold on God. We don't have time to get backslid on God. We've got to fight the good fight. I don't know why. They've been on my heart all morning. Young people, I'm begging you. While you're in this atmosphere, while you're around this kind of preaching, while you're around these kind of services, while you're in that church and people are praying, I'm telling you, you better overcome your giants now. You better overcome your giants and the battle don't get easier. The burden don't get lighter. I'm telling you, you better get a hold of God and learn how to separate so you and I can have the power of God. Oh, it takes the power of God. It takes the power of God. And we need God's touch to get a work done. Now notice the end result of that. Look with me if you will. Look with me in the book of Judges. Just giving you the thought. The Lord gave it to me. Bear with me. Notice with me in the book of Judges. Let me give you a few verses. Judges chapter number 8. Judges chapter number 8, verse number 1. Gideon has just wrought a great victory. Amen. God took a plowboy and did something great. I believe God took some plowboys out of here and done some great things. Amen. Judges chapter number 8, verse number 1. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus? What that thou calledest us not when thou wentest to fight against the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. Here they are again. He said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is it not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim? Amazing, they had to get bragged on to be able to get along with them. Hello. In other words, they're upset. You know, there are people that we're going to be around all the time, and they can't get just fired up about the fact that somebody got victory.
if the victory didn't come through them. Hey, man. Well, I thought, no, if revival was going to come, it was going to come at my church. It was going to come at their church. Amen. What does it matter who gets the credit? It praise God, not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us, O Lord. Have unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. We all ought to be in hell. That's exactly right. But God saved a bunch of sinners. Plant us in the family of God. Any good that gets done, it ain't me. It ain't you. It's God that does the work. Remember me from God, verse number 3, delivered your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, Zeeb, and what was able to do in comparison of you. Then their anger was abated toward him and when he said that. Oh, well, why didn't you come get us to fight? Well, they didn't have too good of a track record, did they? Flip over just a few verses, just a few verses. Judges chapter number 12. Judges chapter number 12. Same thing takes place again. Here we find Jephthah's got the victory. Judges chapter 12, verse number 1. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward, said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon and didn't call us to go with thee? The total lie right there. We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. Jealousy now has produced envy and bitterness. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. When I called you, you delivered me not out of their hand. In other words, they wanted him to stop fighting to take care of them. Isn't that amazing? People who won't get into conflict, they want you to stop the out of the conflict. Oh, help us, Lord. Right. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. Verse number 3, and when I saw you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands, passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are you come up unto me this day to fight against me? Now notice this. Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, you Gileadites are fugitive of Ephraim among the Ephraimites, among the Manassites. And the Gileadites took passage of Jordan before the Ephraimites, and it was so. Then those Ephraimites which were escaped said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, art thou an Ephraimite? And he said, nay. And the Bible tells us in verse number 6 of the Ephraimites, 42,000 died. Here's what I'm getting at real quick and I'm finished. Listen, Brother Jeff, because they would not fight, there come a day that they could not fight. Amen. Amen. Because that the things of God had been taken for granted. The blessings of God had been overlooked. God had been merciful. God had been gracious. God put them in a good place. But there were some battles that they had to win. There were some difficulties to overcome. But because their reputation said that they would not fight when they could, there come a day they wanted to fight, but they could not fight. Oh, tomorrow's not the day to get involved. Tomorrow's not the day to fight. But today's the day to fight. And God help us to learn how to get into conflict. Every one of us here today, boy, we'd love it if everything was just a little bit smoother. Oh, most of our people have this mentality. Oh, I want everything to be peaceful, I want it to be calm. I'd rather have some battles and things that God puts in my life to teach me to trust Him and teach me how to pray than to go through life thinking I got everything figured out and face that battle, face that difficulty that gets me out of the ministry and that gets me in the shape where God could never use me again. I'm preaching on it to learn to get in the conflict. Listen to me. Too often we jump into a fight acting outmatched as if we've already lost, forgetting who God is and what God did for us. This is simple. Listen. But if God took us from back there, and I don't know about you, but I thank God for the day you saved my soul and changed my life. And Brother Barry, if God could take me from back there and what it was, then there's nowhere over there that God can't take me. If God found us in the mess we were in, saved our soul, and got me out of what it was and changed my life,
I have no idea what tomorrow holds. And I know the battle. That's why we need these meetings. Praise God. Come together a little bit. Encourage each other. Learn how to rejoice again. Learn where to take our burdens. Learn how to get help in the battle. And be able to go back on the battlefield. And jump right back in the conflict. And maybe, God will touch the hearts of some of our people. And they'll jump in the conflict with us. And they'll jump on the battlefront with us. Oh, God, teach us how to fight, how to labor, how to win by the good grace of God. This is what I gave our people, son. I'm not going to preach these. I'm just giving to us. I'm not learning how to fight. Need to learn how to fight sin in its infancy. Learn how to fight sin, Brother Willis. And I realize, oh, that's exactly right. And I know I'm preaching to preachers this morning. But just like our people, isn't it amazing how something small can get in and we can overlook it? Next thing you know, try to get in the pulpit and we're trying to preach to people things that we hadn't practiced ourselves. Learn how to fight sin in its infancy. Learn how to fight our battles faithfully. If God gave you victory yesterday, God will give you victory today. Learn how to fight the adversary spiritually. Hey, you know what Brother Jarvis said today? Brother Jarvis said, praise God, I'm ready to come out swinging. Anybody felt like that? Amen. Feel like going to church, so why ain't you got a suit on? Well, I ain't need no suit today. I need some boxing gloves. Hallelujah. It'd be good. But you and I'd be just as tired from fighting physically as it would trying to fight spiritually without God's touch. And then, dear men of God, dear church member, dear faithful member, learn to fight the battle victoriously. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm through preaching. Let me just say this one more time. God help us to learn day by day to get victory. Because I have no idea what I'm going to fight tomorrow, what I'm going to face tomorrow. But Brother Travis, I do know this. Same God gave me victory yesterday. He'll give me victory today. Now the devil's goal between now and next year, no telling. No telling what we'll face or go through. But there is a goal that God has. Is that every man of God finish well. And I'm glad that you can. Can I say something? I know I'm new here. I know I'm new here, Brother Jarvis. But preacher, we need you to finish well. Brother Buster, you have no idea how bad we need you. Amen. Keep coming back this meeting. Feel like Brother Brown said, feel like I've shot up and wore out and been through a little bit of everything. But man, you don't realize how many you helped just when you walked in the door back there. Amen. Brother Rackley, you don't realize how many people you help just by walking in the doors. Just me. Preacher, we've only been in a few services together. How old are you, preacher?
81.
Wow. Praise God. All I'm saying is, God help us. Brother Norris, we ain't been in a meeting but about twice together. I don't have no idea what all went on last year. But man, I'm glad that somehow or another, you just went back and said, all right, if I quit, it ain't going to be this. If he licks me, it ain't going to be today. Man of God, it'd been real easy to just take this meeting off. Hurt, praise God, fighting all kind of physical stuff. And that's this a little bit what I know. It's been real easy. I said, nope. Got to get in the conflict. We get to leave here after getting some help, and we get to go back to our pulpits on Wednesday night. And we get to go back to our people. Hallelujah. And let them know. Hallelujah. Amen. God got me through one. I know there'll be another. But I want to fight this one. I want to fight this one because I may not be able to fight if I don't fight this one. God help me get through one more conflict. Brother Jarvis, you come. I'm through preaching. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your help. Thank you for your help.